Welcome, my brave listeners, to Wilhelm Presents Frightening Tales. Please tune into frighteningtales.com for more scary stories. Today's tale is titled The Red-Eyed Thing, as written by the talented Jer Cunningham. This story is a little darker than we normally dive, so listener discretion has been advised.
Ray Simmons took a fiery drink from the newly opened bottle. Alcohol carved another slash of fire into his brain. He had to burn out the bad. He had to keep on drinking because it was getting dark outside. Dusk was collecting outside the trailer. The kitchen windows were purple rectangles covered with rusty screen. Simmons sat in the broken chair, becoming scared now despite the whiskey he kept drinking hard. Now and again, his eyes flicked at the cupboard where he kept his liquor. The flaking wooden door was slightly parted. A thin crack of darkness peered at him. If the thing came out tonight, it would surely come out of there. It would come slipping out into the trailer when the whiskey was fire inside his head. It would steal down out of the night with red eyes and teeth that glittered in the dark. It would surely come. Knowing this, Simmons drank furiously in a race to get drunk before darkness fell. Only total drunkenness could get him through this night. A thin, caterwauling cry came piercingly from the back room of the narrow trailer. Simmons choked, flinched, and yelled out a terrified cry of his own into the Tennessee night. Then, the weird sound tapered into the sobbing of an infant. Simmons cursed. It was only his daughter's baby. His teenage daughter's bastard. "That little shit," said Simmons thickly. He'd been badly shaken and humiliated for no good reason. Into the trailer's hallway, he shouted roughly at his daughter.
"Ronnie, you shut that kid's noise or I'll shut it for you."
He was scared because he knew it would come after him. That red-eyed thing would come out of the night like it had before. He had to get too drunk to see it when it came. He wallowed, whiskey in remote cavities of his mouth swallowed. He listened to the quiet motions of his daughter as she went hurrying to tend her little one. He felt guilty, and the guilty feeling made him see red. If he could get drunk enough, or mad enough, he wouldn't get scared. Anger and stupor were the last refuges left to Ray Simmons. By his 40 years on Earth, the baby cried again. It was almost totally dark outside now, in the woods around the Tennessee trailer park. The baby's wail made him lurch up into the murky hall, trembling, seeing red.
"God damn it!" he yelled. "I'll fix that kid myself!"
His foot slipped on a wet spot of linoleum. Simmons hit hard, gasping, rolling over. He was quickly up. elbow throbbing from the awkward way he'd had to fall to keep from breaking the bottle of old Charter. In the tiny bedroom of the trailer, Ronnie could hear him coming. She heard her father's breath like tearing pieces of rag. Then the tall, broken man reached the doorway. Ronnie, 17 and unmarried, scooped her year-old boy to her milk-filled breasts. Her father said nothing. He came at them with a strange sideways look, only his eyes shining in the glowing dark. The utilities had been cut off months ago, her father spending everything from his monthly VA check on whiskey. His big hand swung at the baby. Ronnie twisted, taking the blow herself. She did a little sideways dance, seeing mind glitter.
"Kid's too big to be nursing from them tits of yours," said Simmons. "Better haul ass and find you a man who will pay to suck on you. Me, I'm sick of supporting both of you and listening to that bastard's bawling all day and night."
Ronnie Simmons staggered but stayed on her feet, managing to dodge his fist this time, ducking with the baby cupped by her shielding body. She tried to speak to him the way she'd tried so many useless times before.
"Daddy, this ain't you. Please."
"Who the devil you think it is?" he laughed.
Her baby clung to her hungrily, seeking her chest, her warm liquid food, all that she could afford to give him. Her father growled like an animal at the sight, and then he turned and was gone back through the hall, trailing acrid whiskey fumes, the hot vapor of his drunken breath. "Oh God," thought Ronnie, "help us tonight, 'cause I got no place to go." She had gotten pregnant during summer vacation, before her senior year. Her mother had left them when she was 10, disappeared without so much as a note. Her father was a drunk. Worse, she couldn't help him any more than she could help herself. Holding her baby, Ronnie wept a bit in brief self-pity and in misery for her helpless baby. She looked down at the tiny marble white face and arms that fed from her breast. She smelled the eggy infantness and felt hot bursts of rapture-like love. Her thoughts swam and drowned, and the voidful fact that she had nowhere to go. And she was so scared. So scared of everything. "If only I had guts enough to leave here, run away, take my chances out there." Oh yes, she had tried that once, and had come crawling back in the first throes of labor. Her baby had been born here in the same dingy room. Her boy suckled, murmuring.
"Shush, little Billy," she said, stroking the tiny white shape carved out of the blackness of the metal room.
At the other end of the trailer, her father began singing the lyrics to an obscene song. Maybe something from his Navy days overseas. She prayed to God that it wouldn't get bad tonight. It was getting worse and worse, and she didn't know what to do. "If it gets worse, he might kill me. But I can't let him touch Billy. No way." The night deepened, thickened, and Ray Simmons drank against the scrape of passing hours. Once he thought he glimpsed the red-eyed thing, but it had been only his own face. Oddly rat-like, in a glance at the mirror over the commode where he urinated, he laughed. He opened a new bottle. Something skittered, making him jump. And the baby was crying again. Oh God, Ronnie thought, clasping Billy again. Ray Simmons came stalking in drunken fury. When he left this time, Ronnie felt her mind go blank. Maybe her father was right. She thought for a crazed, red-flamed second of pain. Gonna kill them too, came her father's snarl from the kitchen. Shut both them up permanently. An aching pain, Ronnie felt an impulse of hatred for her father, for her child, for herself, for the man who had made her pregnant, a man who had gotten her drunk and never even told her his last name, a man she had met and not seen since. Maybe her father was right. Nothing wrong with that kid, a good hiding wouldn't cure. Billy was crying again. It was now 12:30. Ronnie sat up from her cot in the room, and Billy instantly stopped crying. His chubby white arms reached up urgently for her neck. His tiny pink lips popped open in hunger, promising a sloppy kiss if only she would pick him up and hold him. Damn you, thought Ronnie, sourcelessly, listening for the cursing approach of her father. She slammed the baby back onto the dark, damp sheets. She picked up a handful of Lincoln logs from a corner and threw them in on top of him. Her head rang like the tolling of a cracked infernal bell where her father had clubbed her with his scarred fist. Her left kidney rippled with sheets of fire. Little Billy, as his teenaged mother abandoned him again to the darkness, as his mother's slender, large-bosomed figure melted off into the darkness of the hall, twisted on the wrinkled sheet of his crib, he lifted his tiny face in complete infant's terror, undiluted by any form of reason or rationalization. He stared with huge eyes toward the far corner of the night-filled room, toward the hall. Alone and helpless as ever, Billy saw it crawling from the hall closet where the man kept his bottles of whiskey. Billy saw it emerge as he had seen it do before. It bled forth like a stain, blacker than the darkness, like filth bleeding out towards him. Filth with red eyes and shiny teeth. Billy screamed and twisted himself back into a crib corner. He watched it building again, growing like a shape, coagulating from black oil around those eyes like red marbles with slit pupils, again as he had earlier this night. Billy stretched his mouth open in the loudest scream he could manage. It was coming across the wall like a giant fly. And he screamed and screamed and screamed, the red glowing eyes peering closer, the needle fangs whetted by the flicker of a silvery forked tongue. Billy shrieked, summoning the warm one, the love one, to come save him. There was a crash in the front of the trailer, a sound of slaps, cries of pain and rage. Billy watched the red-eyed thing slide drunkenly past the window, its scales caught, flecks of patchy moonlight. Billy shrieked again, for now he discerned details of its hideously grinning face. Feet came stamping through the hall. The thing skittered away like a weasel, but with a human squeal, wet and snapping. A last glint of red eyes as it slithered with whipping tail into the closet of liquor bottles. Billy's mother, with bleeding mouth, came sharply into the room. She veered toward the crib, tilting there. She stared down against the moonlight into Billy's adoring and happily relieved white face. Billy puckered up to give her a big rewarding kiss. He reached for her neck, her breasts, her face. Ronnie slowly lifted her left hand. In the small feminine fist was the crooked black head of a clawhammer. Its steel horns cast a long shadow across the moonlit wall. And she saw the shadow, the silhouette of Satan's head laughing at her, at them all. And she realized how close she had come, how that wild urge had come over her to smash the hammer down, down into Billy's fragile, beautiful face. Spatter your little brains. Show you God who can be heard if you think I'm not hurting bad. In her hand, the hammer's cold, dead weight suddenly felt evil, incredibly alive, like holding a desperate cottonmouth snake. The irresistibly delicious need to smash Billy turned to new fear, and the new fear poised the hammer with an aiming motion over the face of Billy, over his delicate little face, a temptation that made her dizzy with promise of utter relief. Don't think I won't, because I will right now. And then, at the crux of all that was in her, a strange and wonderful thing happened. Billy's lips came together softly, and the child formed his first word.
Mama,
said Billy. Ronnie stared, and horror arose in her. She stared at the horned shadow on the wall, seeing its red eyes. She saw the deadly hammer raised in her trembling, sweating hand. And she'd wonder how it had got there. How she got there. How Billy had come to be hers. Where she would go. For she knew she was going. Going. The thing on the wall grinned at her like an ancient picture of a demon. A picture from a book in the school library. Half human, half monster. Laughing silently with red-eyed drunkenness. A silvery forked tongue flicking yellow needle rat teeth. And a monkey's face, weirdly, like her father's. With a grunt, Ronnie flung the hammer at it. She scooped Billy up against her. The baby clung to her, buried there in warm, urgent softness. In the living room, Ray Simmons lay on the floor and fought to sit up. His body was numb, but he realized that the noise that had wakened him was the slamming of the metal door of the trailer. So his daughter had finally had the guts enough to take off with her bastard. He'd finally got rid of the pair of them. He could have a little peace and quiet now. Drink in peace without them fussing and hollering and getting in the way. He managed to sit up. An empty bottle clinked at the end of his left hand. Simmons chortled in his victory. He swayed, standing, staggering toward the closet where full bottles of whiskey waited for consumption. And he stopped. Had he heard that? Or imagined it? A scraping, like nails on glass. All the things around him seemed to vibrate with the scratching sound. The stillness itself hummed, and he hurried on to the closet, sliding his drunken mass against the dark, flaky trailer walls. He was becoming antsy. He was realizing how much he was alone. He laughed. Shit. No. I like privacy. He came to the closet and fumbled with the knob. But something skittered. He flinched back. It had sounded like something inside the closet. And that made him laugh at himself. Still, his hand seemed to have a mind of its own. The fingers shrank from the doorknob. He wanted a drink. He forced his fingers to tighten upon the knob. The effort of will further blurred his drunken vision in the dimness. He was alone. At last. Reason to celebrate? His hand gripped the knob. It turned and clicked. He pulled the warped door open an inch and then another. He pulled in the rest of the way with fury at his own stupid fear. The fiercely grinning stare of the red-eyed thing perched among the bottles in the velvety dark closet fixed the eyes of Ray Simmons. He urinated. He could not move. Before it sprang, Simmons had one last flash of thought. A tiny terror-ravaged fleck of wisdom that the thing had waited. Waited only for this time to come. When he, Ray Simmons, would at last have no one left who loved him. Would at last be alone.
Thank you, brave listeners, for being daring enough to make it this far through another frightening tale. You've been listening to The Red-Eyed Thing by Jer Cunningham. If you enjoyed this tale, you may enjoy more of Jer's writing, like his novels The Abyss, The Visitor, or The Legacy, among many others currently available at your local bookstore. If you're as attached to FrighteningTales.com as I am, why not show your support with one of our new shirts, available through the website's Mercantile Services. Send in a photo of you in your creepy wear, and we'll happily share it on the website. Or, at least do tune in again next Friday for another frightening tale, if you're brave enough.